Good afternoon. What do you think about Jesus? Is he all right? Who woke you up this morning? Started you on your way? What's his name?
Jesus.
What's his name?
Jesus.
What's his name?
Jesus.
Ones who coming in a cloud, what's his name?
Jesus.
Mary's baby, what's his name? Hung on the cross for you and me. What's his name?
Jesus.
I'm getting used to that name, Jesus. For there is none other name given among men whereby we must be saved. Amen. How many of you is this the first time for you come to huddle? This is the first time for you. Amen. We want to just put our hands together and thank God for you. Huddle is a safe environment for men. We take off our CEOs, attorneys in the city, electricians. We just men right now. As our brother said on last Wednesday, we are men saved by grace. Amen. He also said we were sinners saved by grace. Anybody been saved in here? All right. This afternoon, the Lord has been dealing with me about relationship. Relationship in prayer. Have you ever seen your father pray until tears come from his eyes because some personal things they were going through in the house? Have you ever been to your grandmother's home and seen her rock in the chair and just moan? Have you ever been in a place where you needed a friend? Seemingly you could not find anyone to talk to. But then God sends a friend. I got several friends in the room today. That when I could not pray, they prayed for me. Have you ever even been at a place where you could not pray at all? Have you ever been angry to the point where you could not pray at all? There is a man here who paid the price for us. And I looked at here in this scripture about the model of prayer for the disciples of Christ. And he told me that you can take this model of prayer. Let us look at it. Summary on your page. Can you read the first 13 verses with me, please? Begin, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive those who have. And lead us not into temptation, but to deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Remember, today we're talking about relationship, peace, forgiveness, power to complete the task that he has set us to do. Okay? In the model prayer, Our Father which art in heaven, first we need to acknowledge who he is. Now, in the New Testament, we have problems sometimes understanding a need to pray because it's just foreign to us until we become Christian. And long before you have an assignment to preach or you're banging on the piano, we need to have a relationship in prayer. We need to know how to pray. Our study this semester is in Ezra and Nehemiah. And we find that each one of these people who God gave a word to do and a condition to do something for him, they had to have a prayer life. We find in the middle of the New Testament that Jesus gives a model of prayer for his disciples. As we go forward in the New Testament, we find that he anoints different men for great exploits. To do these exploits, they had to have a prayer life. If we go back in the past, the Christian church, and go to the Hebrew church in the Old Testament, we find that they already knew where their strength and where their power came from. Jeremiah is the crying prophet, and you find him laying prostrate praying. Isaiah, you find him praying. You look at even Adam, who met God in the cool of the evening and had a relationship. You see where we're going? He had a relationship with God. Now, we who are Christian in the room, we have a relationship with God and we have a relationship with men. On the vertical plane, we establish a relationship with the Lord. Over a time, he gets used to hearing from us and we get used to hearing from him. And although our relationships on the horizontal plane may take us into different business of the world, being a father, a husband, being somebody else's child, we find that we still have to have a relationship with these people. And so Adam and Eve, who got outside of right relationship with God, we needed somebody to go before us and to bring us back in right relationship with God. So Jesus Christ comes and he sheds his blood. And let me tell you, the nails didn't keep him on the cross. It was the love he had for humanity. He brought us back in right relationship with him. And you remember when you take and observe Holy Communion. Without the shedded blood of Jesus, as my pastor says over there many times, without the shedded blood of Jesus, there would be no remission of sin. Is that the book? Is that in the Bible? And we find that when the devil becomes the accuser, he doesn't see you any longer. He just sees the blood of Jesus that covers you. He can't accuse you because the blood of Jesus Christ, it covers you. We needed a sacrifice. And Jesus Christ became that sacrifice. Amen. On our way to look at the theology, we find that Ezra, he does the temple, he puts it together, but in those days you needed to have a walled city because if you didn't, the enemy would come. And so it is with this vessel. If we do not know who we are in Christ, we are just like a city without walls. After all, our body has become the temple of the... And so you are a temple, and without the walls of the power of the Holy Spirit operating in you or through you, you, amen, will be like a ship that's tossed in the sea and forever allowing the wind to be what it would to you, a storm in the midst of a sea. But because of the power of the Holy Ghost, what does Acts 1 and 8 say? After that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, or the Holy Spirit has come upon you, you shall receive what? Power. He didn't give us the spirit of fear, but love and so we're not crazy to believe on this only begotten Son who is Jesus Christ. Amen. It causes us to be the brothers in the room. So after everything is said and done, and this right here on this level is said and done, we still have to have this relationship with God. He operates through prayer and supplication before him. Peace. I don't know if Brother Tice is still in the room or not, but I heard him when he talked about peace, and we've been so involved with peace. See, he says in Romans 5 and verse 1, we are justified by faith, and we now have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Peace didn't come until Jesus came in our life. Now, in the coming weeks, you're going to have to understand this like I did, that I can't get caught up with every wind and whim or everything that's going on. If I'm going to be the child of God, I have to be the stabilizing factor in people's lives. And you have to be the stabilizing factor in people's lives. Don't become shaky and tossed because what you see here, make sure you have that relationship with God here. Peace. With God through our Lord Jesus Christ. We find out that we have become children of God. Why? Because he says this word to us in the song or in the Sermon on the Mount. Blessed, y'all know where I'm going. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. We want to become the children of God. We need to have peace in our life. We need to exemplify peace. Where there is chaos, confusion, and unrest, absence of peace, you can dismiss that in your life. People who bring confusion, chaos, and unrest to you on a daily basis, you can dismiss it because they are on the territory of your personal peace. They have gotten in your space. Somebody say, I don't want you to take my peace. Look at somebody and say they have to back up. Remember, you are the ambassadors of the peace that God is trying to get to us. Forgiveness. Well, look down there on your paper once again. Your handout in verses 14 and 15. Watch your tongue. I'll get that after a while, team. Verses 14 and 15. For if ye forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. Anybody want the prayers answered? Long before we get ready to pray, we might need to forgive mother-in-law. Long before we pray, it's somewhere along your life, somebody has done you wrong. Somewhere along the way, they have mistreated you. But don't let the events of the past hold you hostage to the present. Do not allow those events. Some people can go back to the very moment it happened, the very pew. Have you ever been hurt in church? Church hurt. They can go all the way back. I thought I should have started on the starting five with Brother Butcher. I thought I should have started. And so we can build up this resentment, and it's us who can get rid of the resentment through Christ Jesus. So we look and we find out that when we allow people to hold us hostage to events of the past, we become ineffective for Jesus Christ. So first thing I'm going to do is as I stand praying, I'm going to forgive. For if I forgive others their trespasses, my Heavenly Father will forgive me my trespasses. Then there is a conjunction for the teachers here. There is a but. But if you do not forgive others their trespasses, neither will your Heavenly Father forgive you your trespasses. I want my prayers to go forth and be answered. I got to forgive somebody. Somebody woke up this morning and their wife, which is the vessel, the rib that came from your side, she crossed you. Has anybody in the room ever had a wife cross them? I'm the only one. I believe I'm the only one. Is there anybody in the room got a wife that is mouthy? Just mouthy for no reason. Have you got a mate? Have you been with her so long that she has become like just a vessel that can give you advice and be like that prophet in your life and say, honey, I wouldn't do that if I was you. And then she goes on to explain why. And then it makes sense to you, but you don't want to really tell her that. I'm the only one here. What I am saying today about the relationship, it takes time. You can't just start a relationship, break it off, and start again, break it off, start it again, break it off. You remember what we said about Adam? He met the Lord every day in the cool of the day. But when he was absent, God knew it. He knew it. You know when you're sincerely wrong. That is something that God puts in the Holy Spirit to bring you back to righteousness. Well, finally, we look at the power. He gives you power to complete the task. He gives you power when you become Christian. He gives you power to complete the task at hand. Now listen to this. You have a calling as a Christian, you know, to spread the word and win souls. But your assignment may not necessarily reflect your calling. So if your assignment that God puts you on changes, don't expect to say, oh, well, I'm just going to quit now. My calling ain't right. I wasn't called from the beginning. Excuse me. Your assignment may be changing. He may be taking you another place. Your calling is different from your assignment. Your calling is constant. Your assignment is changing. Somebody put your hands together for that. Oh, my God. Today I may be doing the will of God as a pastor. Tomorrow he may call you to be an evangelist. And I want you to hear me real loud and clear. You don't have to be a preacher to help somebody. You don't have to be a minister standing from the pulpit to be real for Christ. Amen. Do I have a witness in here? Thank you, Jesus. As we look in the closing this afternoon, a call to pray is an assignment that God will fulfill through you. We have found this afternoon that a relationship in prayer is vital. Amen. We have found out that the peace of God, never let anybody get in the space of the peace of God, for you are the ambassadors of peace. Amen. We have looked and seen that forgiveness, oh my. We look in forgiveness and we find that when we look inside of forgiveness, that Jesus not only gave us the model, and in verses 13 or 14, 15, but he says from the cross, Father, what did he say, y'all? Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. I looked at Nehemiah. He was a servant. He got called. You see his calling? First, he served the king. He could have been bitter because he was in bondage, right? He could not have forgiveness. But he formed a relationship with King Xerxes. And when he said, I need to go see about Jerusalem because the walls are down, King Xerxes said, not only are you going, I'm going to give you the materials to get the job done. Because he made a relationship with somebody that folks would think that could not be forged. You have the power of God on the inside of you men. You change the taste of things. After all, Jesus said, ye are the salt of the world. So I don't want you to sit here today. You guys are the last resort. You are the last main line, like the Matrix. The final thing when they sit at the temple, you know, the machines was coming down. Y'all. The final stand. You who are at huddle today, you are the final stand. You are the men of God. You can get the job done. What's it say in Philippians 4 and 13? Brother Richie, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I can do it. Raise your voice and say, I can do it. Look across the table at your brother and say, I can do it. Look across the table and say, I can do it. Through Christ Jesus, I can do it. Amen. I can do all things through Christ. I know I got ahead of myself, but I want you to know this. We've been quoting it for the last decade. Pastor Tice, we've been looking at it in 2 Chronicles 7, 14, 4, almost 20 years, actually. We've been looking at it. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will what? Forgive their sin and will heal their land. But I want you to know this is the answer to a prayer that had to be made. Solomon, he builds a scaffold about this high and this wide too. He builds a scaffold 6 cubits high, 6 cubits wide. And before the whole congregation, he lays down and he takes off his kingly apparel, he takes off his crown, he takes off his robe, and he lays down before the people of God. And this is a place that we need to lay down. America needs to lay down to prayer. We got to go back to the basic prayer. There is power in prayer. Solomon made a prayer, and as you want to make a note, 2 Chronicles, the 6th chapter, is the answer to 7:14. He prayed for crime. 2 Chronicles 6, 22, 23, he prayed for crime. He prayed that his enemies would not attack his country. 2 Chronicles 6, 24, 25. He prayed and he screamed out, Lord, don't let a drought overcome and overtake us. There was droughts in America. Well, come on, help me tonight. Help me this afternoon. There was a drought here, but he prayed about the drought. He prayed about the famine. He prayed about the influx of foreigners in his country. He prayed about that we wouldn't, amen, if we had to go to war, we'd win. Then he prayed about sin. Seven basic things. When you get an opportunity, look and see the power of prayer. Prayer is the key to the kingdom. Relationship, peace, forgiveness, and power. Let us pray. Father, in no ways is this an exhausting word of God. We pray this hour, Lord, that you would help us in our personal relationships. Help us to love mother-in-law. Help us to love those who wronged us, that they may not hold us hostage. Give us peace in our personal affairs. And as we take care of your business, please take care of our personal business, Lord. We pray for these men in the areas of forgiveness, that they would know that the power of God lies resident in them even as we speak. Thank you, Lord, that you sent your Son and that he sent us, O God, the Comforter. We give you praise this hour. Bless these men, God. These are your men that you're sending out throughout the city and throughout the nation. These men sitting here. And for this, Lord, we huddle up. We huddle up this hour. And we say, God, we thank you. In Jesus Christ's blessed name we pray. And everybody say it. Amen.